So, of course, we'll try to connect the parasha a little bit to Chanukah. The very first piece that the Sabbath Kabbalah talks about is something that if you're not careful, if you don't look carefully at the text, you will miss it. And that is that for some reason, the way Paro has his initial dream, as opposed to the way he tells it over to Yosef, there are significant differences in the Chumash between the dream as it actually happened, as opposed to the way he tells it over to Yosef. Now, the Sabbath Kabbalah, interestingly, does not talk about why Paro changed things up when he told Yosef. He doesn't talk about that. You almost get the impression from reading his commentary that the idea is that he wasn't so specific. He just messed up the details. There wasn't anything perfect. Sometimes when you were trying to remember a dream that you had, you don't always remember every single detail. So it just happens to be. I don't know why he changed it up, but he just told it differently. He even says that maybe the reason why, because it says that he... It says in the Chumash that he tried to tell over the dream to his own advisors, and they didn't get the right, you know, they couldn't give him an explanation that he liked. So he suggests that the reason why they didn't get explanations is because he told it over with the wrong details. But Yosef, even though he told it over the wrong details, was able to give him the explanation based on the way he really saw the dream and not the way he told it over to him. That's the premise that he's working with before we even get into it. So look what he says. Again, he goes through the details. To me, the details are less important. Like, here he said the cows are going up from the Nile. Here he didn't say the cows are going up from the Nile. It's almost like the details aren't even as... It's a whole bunch. He has like four or five differences. The differences aren't as important to me. What's important to me is that there were differences. He didn't tell it over, right? But still, nevertheless, because Yosef had God on his side, because Yosef wasn't doing it on his own, he had God on his side, so he was able to make stuff happen even though he didn't even get the right point of the dream. And says the Ksav HaKabbalah, that's why the Torah, you see, the Torah goes through every single little detail of the dream the way it originally happened, and then the Torah again goes through every single detail of the dream the way Paro told it over to him. Asks the Ksav HaKabbalah, why are there all these differences? And why does the Torah even Bechlal go through all the details of the dream, every single nuance and detail, or at least it could have only gone through it once? You know, first it goes through, okay, Paro had it. Okay, I understand why you need every detail of the dream one time, because the way Yosef translated, each detail had some relevance to the way he translated. But why go through the whole thing again? Why did Paro have to go retell to Yosef every single detail? There was seven cats. He could have just said, and he told over the dream to Yosef and be done with it. Says the Ksav HaKabbalah, no. The Torah went through every detail to say that despite the fact that Paro messed up on all the details and got it all wrong, nevertheless, Yosef still was able to be mechaving to the right thing because he had God on his side. And when you have God on your side, it doesn't matter what the details are, because as long as you try your hardest and as long as you, God will help you get it right. That's the idea. Look what he says very beautifully. I just told you the whole first page outside, but I'm not going to read the whole thing inside. Yosef. The Torah goes through at length all the details of the dream of Paro to Yosef. V'lo amar b'kitzer v'derech klal v'ayisaper Paro Yosef es chalom. But just don't go through all the details again. Just say, Paro told Yosef over this dream that I just described in the Torah in the last 10 psukim. What do you need another 10 psukim for? So he says, nearly. That's the whole yisod here. That the bigger a tzaddik you are, the more God has your back. That's basically what it is. I remember once, I'm sure we talked about this, actually we've talked about a Pasha's Miketz in the past, that the pasuk we read every morning, we say this pasuk, Baruch HaGever Asher Yivtach BaHashem, V'hoya Hashem Mivtacho. Very strange pasuk if you think about it. We've said it a million times. Baruch HaGever Asher Yivtach BaHashem, V'hoya Hashem Mivtacho. Blessed is the man who trusts in God, and God is his trust. Now, the Torah sometimes talks poetically, it just doubles over, talks poetically, but Baruch HaGever Asher Yivtach BaHashem, V'hoya Hashem Mivtacho. So I think some of that Mepharshim explained, and we've discussed it in the Shir sometime over the past 14 years. Blessed is the man who trusts in God, and to the degree that you trust in God, V'hoya Hashem Mivtacho. God is actually the person in whom you could feel free to put your trust. The more you put your trust in Him, the more He'll come through for you and be the one that's trusting. That's the way it works, apparently. That's the Ksav HaKabbalah saying. the more you are a Yare, the more you put your faith in him and trust in him, the more he's going to come through for you. That's the way God works. If that's the whole story of Chanukah. That's the whole story of Chanukah. The more you feel that even though you're Rabban Biyad Ma'atim, you can go ahead and stand up for what you believe in. Even though they were a small band of committed to Torah principles, committed members to Torah principles, they stood up to the mighty Syrian Greek army, but they had faith, they had trust. They had faith and trust, so when Hashem's on your side, you don't know where it's going to end. It can end anywhere. It can end anywhere. Even a little bit of oil can go a long way if God's on your side. That's the whole idea. It's just, you think you're just a little nothing. I'm a little nothing. What could I accomplish in Yiddishkeit? What could I do? How much could I really do? What does God need my service? But if you believe in the Rabbono Shlomo, even a little oil could last a long time. Rabban Biyad Ma'atim. That's the whole Chanukah story. We're going to keep on repeating this theme. The whole Parshas Mikates is rags to riches. Riches to rags to riches. First he was the beloved son. Then he was, Herbie, you got good seats. You don't have to pay for cheap seats. We have good seats for you. We have good seats for you. You've been coming here long enough. You deserve a good seat, Herbie. So this is not just, this is the ultimate rags to riches story. We're going to see. That's going to be the whole theme. Even though Paro changed a bunch of details of what he told over to Yosef as opposed to the way he originally dreamt the dream, as a matter of fact, not only does the way Paro told it over to Yosef, it has no shaychas to the actual explanation. It's totally messed up. It's anti. Some of the details, the way Paro said over to Yosef, do not jive with the correct interpretation. And only had Paro said over the initial details of the way they really happened, would they really jive with the interpretation. Becholzos, Mehashem Yisbar Chaysa Nisiba, Lo'odia Yosef Inyan HaPitaron, Kifi Mashiro Paro Be'emes. God helped Yosef see it the way Paro originally saw it, and not the way Paro taught it over to Yosef. Af She'enu Muskam Im Sipuro Es Chalomo, even though the interpretation that Yosef gave does not jive with the way Paro told it over to Yosef. And then he goes through some of the details. The details don't even bother me. Just skip all the details. It doesn't bother me. The point is the point that I said. Look at about two-thirds of the way down the paragraph. Hine. Al-pi ha-dvar ma'eli yesh tonu hevdel godlo be'maras ha-chalom bein tzipur v'atzozor al-Yosef. Ad shil tvi ha-si be'en bu'mon klal ral ha-sova v'arav ad shir rishonos yu'i l'malos chesan ha-chronos. Etc. And then he says in parentheses, and maybe that's why when he told his chartumim, they didn't get it because he told over the wrong details. I think it just means when you dream a dream, you don't always get all the details right. So he got a lot of the details wrong, the Torah is telling you.
So it wasn't purposeful.
That's what we talked about right before you got here. But yeah, it seems that it was not purposeful. He just didn't get it right because he wanted the right translation, like you're saying, Herbie. Omnom bal hamisibos hodi el Yosef pitaron hachalom. But God, who's the ruler of the world, he told over the right dream to Yosef, the right interpretation, and Paro was blown away. He says, "Oh, you're taka right. It wasn't the way I said it. It was the way you said it." When Paro heard the explanation, then it actually caused Yosef to remember it the way it really happened. He says, "Oh my gosh, my gosh, you must have a direct line because you said it over better than I said it over to you." Oh my gosh, this guy knew the details the way I originally saw them and not the way I even told it over to him. That's why the Torah tells it over twice. Etc. And he even has a medrash that seems to support his point. But this is the whole nes of Chanukah. If you go with God, if your response is Elokim Yaneh Shlom Paro, it's so important in life always to have that approach. Whenever you're about to do something, accomplish, whenever I have a difficult conversation with parents, I always say, you know, Ribbono Shlom, give me the right words to say. I have no idea what to say. Give me the right words to say. There are no good words to say in this particular case. Just give me the right words to say. If you go with the Ribbono Shlom, there's no limit. You could take a difficult situation, all of a sudden it becomes light. You could take a kid who's in jail and 2 minutes later he's the ruler of the country. That's the whole yesod of being a Jew. You could take a tiny little country surrounded by 21 Arab nations, and there's no logical rhyme or reason why it should still be in existence. Forget about being a world superpower. That's the story of the Jewish people. That's the story of our history. Go from a Holocaust and 5 years later to the State of Israel. It makes no sense. The whole Jewish history makes no sense. Rabbi Yaakov Emden writes in the Hakdamah to his Siddur, I've said it over to you many times, that the greatest miracle in the history of the Jewish people is simply the survival of the Jewish people. That itself is the greatest miracle. After we've been beaten and persecuted and pogromed and inquisitioned and all the things that have happened to us, that we're still here learning the same Torah from a couple of thousand years ago. That itself is the greatest miracle in the world. That's the greatest miracle in the history of the world.
Even the Goyim recognize it. Toynbee says that the Jews should not exist. According to Toynbee's theories, Israel, the Jews, will not exist. This doesn't make any sense at all.
Yeah, and Goyim, the famous Napoleon, also Napoleon said, the nation that's still mourning a temple from 2,000 years ago will merit its rebuilding. So said Napoleon. Ah, that's going to be the whole shiur in a nutshell. I mean, again, picking out the right Ksavah Kabbalahs, that's going to be the whole shiur in a nutshell. Now, when it's interesting, the Ksavah Kabbalah points out that when Yosef, can you imagine? Here's this guy. He comes down to Egypt as a slave. He hits on the wife of he was allegedly thrown in jail for hitting on the wife of one of the ministers in the country. He's sitting there in jail for a couple of years, at least he's there for 2 years, whatever, he's in jail. Power comes and tells him over a dream, and all of a sudden Power says, you're going to be the second in command of the country. How did the people let that go down? So look, that's what the Ksavah Kabbalah points out. Take a look. So that's why the Torah describes how Paro had to do some things to make the people believe that he was actually king worthy. But I have a different lesson that I want to learn from that. Look what he says. Take a look on page 121. Yomar Paro Yosef Achrei Adil Kimoshes Kol Zos Ein Navon Nuchachem Kamocha. Atati al Basi, all of a sudden rags to riches. Ayom Paral Yosef. Rein Osati Osa Al Khalaritzan. Yosa Paras Tabato. What is the Torah saying? He took off his ring and he put it on Yosef's hand and he clothed him with big day sheish and he placed a crown on his head. Why is all this important? He said, Vayaki of Osa Bimakevus Amishashil. And he gave him like a whole entourage. Like he made him like every time Paro would go anywhere, Yosef was like right behind him in the second chariot. He called before him king. Oso al kol eretz Yisrael. Those are the two pieces that I want to see. Take a look. So first, v'nason oso. I'm sorry, then the next word also, just one more. One more pasuk. Vayomer paro Yosef. Ani paro again, ubeladech aloyar ish. He called himself nas panech. And then the end of pasuk memhei. Vayetze Yosef al eretz Yisrael. Yosef went out on Egypt. What does all that mean? So take a look at the Ksavah Kabbalah. First, v'nason oso. What is the Torah going to all this detail about the ring and the garments and the crown and the chariot? I mean, who cares? Hatabas v'abegadim u'revid azav hayu simanim asher hotzi bam el apol estiburo sh'amar elav rein saticha nasati oska al kolar tzayim. This was his way of actualizing the words that he said, by the way, you're going to be my second in command. And I don't just mean, I'm not just going to say the words, Paro said. I'm going to do actions that are going to specifically show the Egyptian people that I mean what I say, that you're going to be the second in command. However, he says, Leos Yosef Mefursam Adhena Le'eved Shavui B'ma'asar Ha'asarim Zez Man Rav. It's actually a pasuk somewhere. I don't know. I didn't look it up. Lachain Hosef Paro Larkiba Mekevus Amishnev Likol Lefan of Avrich Shebaze Yishma Yishama VeYisparsem Barabim Kihuzeh Oishah Sheratzon Amelach Bola Shlito Al Kol Haaretz. This is the guy. This slave. This Lo Yutzlach. This guy came into the country as a slave. V'zeo she'omar v'noson osa al kol eretz Mitzrayim. Loshon nesina yishamish gamal pirsam adavar v'hashmaso barabim. That's what it means. V'noson osa. He showed it. Come on, Vayinu Kol B'Yehuda, Vayinu Es Kolam. And similarly, the next piece. Take a look at the next piece. Vayetze Yosef. What does it mean? Vayetze Yosef al Eretz Mitzrayim. Right? We probably read that a million times, and we never paid any attention to it. I can only speak for myself. Vayetze Yosef al Eretz Mitzrayim. And he went out on Egypt. So I thought it meant, okay, he went. He went to explore, see what's going on. So no, the Ksavakal puts a whole world into that. Vayetze Yosef. Ein lefarshu inyan tiltel haguf utunuaso. It doesn't mean that he actually physically went out. It says that in the next pasuk. Gam enri las al nofel heitav aloshin yitzia. Aval hu inyan haparsha hafrasha v'yitzia min haklal. Kamo yotzu anashim b'nei b'liyal. Shin yano yitzia michlal das ha'uma. V'loshin zeh nofel al kol dover zar v'nifla. Hayotzi miminag ativi. V'ein lecha dover yoseh zar v'nifla. There's nothing more strange and wondrous mimashin is havin b'yosef than that which happened to Yosef. Haya Eved, Nimkar, Yoshe Bibesa Asurim, Ger Be'eretz Nachu, Ein Ish Makireu, La Osof Lo Mishpachto. Nobody knew him. Nobody knew what stock he came from. Nobody knew his family. He was alone. Movdo Mikol B'nei HaMedina B'das. He was separated from all the people of the country in religion. Vehu Pit'om, Yisnase Aleim LaMelech. And out of nowhere, suddenly, this guy was a nothing, a no-name, a zero in the country, a slave, in jail. In a minute? I mean, you know, like, can you imagine? And like, you know, they had to do, like, his background checks or whatever. Like, nobody did anything with him. Hine al hayitzia hazos, that's what it means, vayetze. Al hayitzia hazos had niflais, omar hakasav, vayetze Yosef al eretz Yisrael. V'onklos shetirgim, v'yosef nafak shalit, ein zeh tosefes aloshen mikra, tu nichla b'loshen v'yetze. So the Torah here is highlighting, according to the Ksav HaKabbalah, what a crazy, ridiculous, against nature, rags to riches story this was. And for us on Chanukah, I think the message is clear, that when you stick with Hashem, and even though times were rough, and Yosef had rough times, some sources in Chazal say that the rough times were because, you know, either because Yaakov didn't treat him properly or because he himself was not smart in the way he handled his brothers telling over the prophecy. But the Ksav HaKabbalah says no. He doesn't say any of that. If you remember from the last week, Ksav HaKabbalah says no. It's got nothing to do with bad stuff that Yosef did. Yosef is a tzaddik. He never did anything wrong. That's the Ksav HaKabbalah.
Exactly.
He keeps saying he never did anything wrong.
Brothers too.
He was just trying to, he knew there was a prophecy, there was a nevuah, that the Jewish people were going to have to be in Egypt, and his brothers were going to have to come down, and this was all part of Hashem's master plan. And Yosef, despite the fact that as a shliach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, life became difficult for him, life was difficult. He never lost hope. He never lost faith. He never lost trust. And this is also going to explain another dramatic question, which I'm sure you've heard before. We've spoken about it this year before. And actually, the Ksav HaKabbalah's take on this upcoming question is going to be the same as many of the other commentaries. And that is, why didn't Yosef send a telegram? Why didn't he make a cell phone call? To his father. Why didn't he put it on Facebook that, Dad, by the way, I know you've been mourning me over 22 years, his father, right? But I'm still alive. And so the Ksav HaKabbalah relates to this on two levels. Number one, why as a slave did he not do it? And why, when he was now the king, did he not do it?
What do you mean why as a slave?
Slave, you think it's obvious. Power. He had no ability.
No
to do
power.
It. That's exactly right. What he said. That's exactly what he says. Good, so you figured it out. Let's see. Look at the bottom. Now let me tell you where he puts this. No, but he asks a very, very strong kasha. He asks a very strong kasha, which is not so obvious. Take a look on page 122. So Yosef marries the daughter of the woman who tried to hit on him. So Ulu Yosef Yulad Shnei Banim, the Terem Tavo Shnasa, top of page 122, Pasuk Nun, Perek Membez. Well, Yosef Yulad Shnei Banim, Terem Tavash Nasar, Asha Yoldalo, Osnas Bas Potifera. That's Potifera. That's the wife of Potifera, according to many. Koino. Vayikra Yosef is Shema Bechor Menashe. We've discussed this in the past. He's a famous Kasha. Yosef called the name of his Bechor Menashe. Why? Ki Nashani Elokim es Kol Amali ve'es Kol Beis Avi. Because God caused me to forget all of my pain, and he caused me to forget my father's house. What? God caused me to forget my... He names his kid, God caused me to forget my father's house. This is a son. This is the right way for a son to have. He's been 22 years out of the house, and he names his kid, oh, Baruch Hashem, God caused me to forget my pain and to forget my daddy. Strange. So let's see the Ksava Kabbalah's take on this. Oh. Ginus gidolahi leben amaruchak mi beis avosav hanichbadim. What a horrible embarrassment it is for a son who's been out of his father's respected house in Israel. Im yishkachem eis hayoso mishupa b'chol tov. Oh, now he became a grois knacker. He's over there. He's already the second in command in Egypt. Oh, Baruch Hashem, I don't need my daddy. I don't need all of my brothers. I don't need it. I'm a great ruler now. What do I need my father's house for? Exactly. Im yishkachem v'yosef shahayu ben zekunim la'aviv. It probably should say shahaya. V'yosef shahaya ben zekunim la'aviv v'oso av yosem hikalechav. He was the most beloved. Umitzad avasag doyle love nistoviv. Hisnas usolios Moshe Hamadina Ech Yisyachese love Dibur Hamaguna Gamitzad Teva Enoshi. Forget about a tzaddik, a normal human being. Lemar Nashani Elokim is called Beis Avi. Kiyora Bezet Pchisus Gedula Pchisus Gedola Uchemavaze Bechavod Aviv. He's being mavaze in his father's honor. Vayaroy Lomar Nashani Elokim is called Achi. Okay, maybe. I forgot my brothers. They were bad. Okay. He doesn't hold any grudge against them. Even for a regular person. For a tzaddik. But even a regular person, it would be terrible to say such a thing. Omnam says the Ksav HaKabbalah, that's not the pshat at all. That's not what's going on over here. Because the Ksav HaKabbalah is always going to defend. He's going to defend all the tzaddikim up to the hilt. Chas v'shalom to say that's what Yosef HaTzaddik meant. By name, he's going to spin it. Exactly. Omnam. Ein Safik. Ki zikaron kavod aviv af rega lo nishkach milibo. There wasn't one second that Yosef forgot about his mourning. His mourning, desolate, despondent father over the loss of his beloved, favorite son. Not for a second. V'yetzer levavo altsar al aviv hoya har be'yosef me'altsar atzmo. The pain that he felt for his father was 100 times more than the pain that he felt for himself. U'v'meshach zman arav she'nifrit v'nezem menu im hoya b'yado lo'odia la'aviv mekomo ayei. Im ayde michtav, or ayde shaliach, or ayde bnei adam anosim b'mitzrayim l'kanan. If he had the ability, if it was in his ability to tell his father, v'vaday lo hoya nimna mi la'asoso kedei l'sameach es ovev azokein hamis abel al avidus b'no. Uma shelo mitzanu mishtadil al zeh. This that we never find Yossi even making an attempt to try to tell his father about this. Karov levadai shebihiyoso b'mamad ha'avdus, as you said very beautifully, b'mamad ha'avdus haya nimne milasos mitzad nimuse amadin lashkech b'yoso al avodim anem karov lem lamonam bal yisavum b'nei adem b'din acher. So the slaves, exactly as you said, the slave didn't. They would make sure the slave had no communication with the outside world. Avo, okay, that answers why he didn't communicate as a slave. But now he was the king. Why didn't he say something as the king?
What
what happened to him. This was a chiyuv, big chiyuv, whether it be just a human nature. Bein mitzad chiyuv atoyra. Hamutal olav l'chabe this aviv lahapech evlo l'sasam v'yigono l'simcha, to turn his avelos into joy. And he says, don't tell me that there was a cherem on him from the brothers. Don't, he doesn't buy the cherem shot. Uve MS says the Ksav HaKabbalah. He mamish flips it right on its head. Godel tzidkas levavo im Hashem, because of his righteousness and his commitment to the Rabbona Shalom, he mina'aso milakai mitzvos kibud aviv. It's because of his fidelity to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's because of his fidelity to the nevuah of the dreams that he had. That's what stopped him. Kikamo, Barry's not buying it. Here we go. Kikamo shekol his nahaguso imachiv ka'es. After Bashkaf Rishon and Nira Kimis Nakimbaum, even though if you'd read it cursorily, you think he's trying to take revenge at his brothers. Lachzikam kimeraglim, lost from b'masar, to throw some of them in jail. Litzar osam es aviv avos binyamin, to put his father into more pain by making binyamin separate. Lasosam kiganovim ves binyamin shelo pasha negdom uma. Tafso levit, to grab binyamin as a slave, even though binyamin never did anything to him. He wasn't even alive when he was sold. V'emes lo asa kol eila rak mitzad tzidkaso hagedola. But really, v'emes lo asa kol eila rak mitzad tzidkaso hagedola. Actually, all of this was Yosef being incredibly righteous. Livli asos davar shu neged ritzon kono. First of all, he didn't want to do anything against Hashem. Kichein haisa gzeiras elyon asher heralo b'chalom hanavui. This was God's decree that God showed him in a heavenly, in a prophetic dream. Vatishtachavena la'alumasi. Achar asar kochavim mishtachavim li. Uvechachma gedola uveitza amuka asa shelo yuskaimu. He made sure that they would not bow down to him at a time that they knew that he was the brother, because that would have been so embarrassing for them. Here they did, first of all, just stop him to bow down to your brother, but here they made fun of him on the dreams, and here the dreams are coming true. To save them from that embarrassment, hishtadel, he tried, that the dreams should the God's prophecy, the dream should be miskoyim, bilti the asam, without them realizing that it was being miskoyim, so as not to embarrass them. They wouldn't know who the guy was. They thought it was some Egyptian prince that they were bowing down to. If he would have told his father he was alive, even though his pure nefesh, he was desperately desiring to be mechabed his father with this great news. To hold back. Kimo she'ein makom limzus kibud avos bihibata ideiz achas mitzvah Hashem. Just like if your father tells you to be mechal Shabbos, you're not allowed to listen to your father. You're not allowed to be mechabed your father. So too, if your father, if honoring your father means going against God's dreams, then you can't honor your father. Ubeprat lefi mara chalom anavua nigzar gamal aviv ha'ishtach ava elov umin hashamayim nimna milakai mitzvah kibud aviv bazeh. In order to be Mekayim Hashem's will, he had to forget from his heart the covet of Aviv. And he was giving thanks to Hashem, who gave him the strength to do God's will in front of his father's will. Lachain kara espino menashe. Lomar. Kinashani elokim es kol beis avi. Ha elokim hu haosa zos. God is the one who gives me the strength. Hu ha misayeni levilti choshvi kavod avi viliyoso ki ilu shachoch milibi. To make it as if I forgot about my father. Verov lashon shikha enu kim minia sima samachshava al davar liyoso bilti choshuv beinav. He proves that the word shikha means to make something insignificant. Lo says olav daito machshavto kmo azavani Hashem v'Hashem shchichani. God forgot us. Vatomer tzion azavani Hashem v'Hashem shchichani. Chas v'shalom, it's not that God didn't actually forget about us. He's just put his mind off of us. V'tam nashani alukim v'omar kol beis aviv lichol kol b'tzarf l'aviv. Ki kulam hayu shavim be'enav l'tova. V'lo hayu lo shum tina b'lev al kol ma she'asu lo. He had no complaint against his brothers. What does it mean also that Hashem made me forget all my pains? So there's two things. First of all, God gave me the strength to overcome my natural feelings of love and respect for my father, but in the interest of what God wanted, he wanted me not to do it, so he gave me the strength to overcome that. But not only that, God also gave me the strength to forget all my sorrows. Ein kavanos Allah says toda shebemamidus nazuzah shachach is kol nigei leiv veros ruach shayilo kodem knisasa luchala kavanazeh kamnim kavanoso gam beis amalo biyos bemamida avdus av shoya muchrach les asik bedvar bilti tivim lo, even though he had to be a slave, which was not natural to him, lo haya amalo zeh olav latorach ulamasa, that he did not view that as a pain, ki haya mekablim olav belev samech, he accepted upon himself all of his Yisurim with a joyous heart. He was mekabel the gzardin of HaKadosh Baruch Hu ba'ava uvisimcha. V'haya nosein toda elav yisparach. He gave thanks to Hashem. Shehaya misayo b'nafsho b'zeh levilti chashov osam l'toruch ulamasa. He also thanked, a very, very fascinating nuance to Ksav HaKbal saying over here. He wasn't thanking God for getting him out of his pain. He was thanking God that even while he had his pain, he never gave up on him, meaning that Yosef never gave up on God. He was never not besimcha, even during his difficult times. He never forgot about God. He never denied God. He never rejected God. He never complained about it.
He knew he was going to succeed.
Beautiful. Av shayim buchach l'sazik b'dvar b'ilti t'vim lo hoi amol ozeh olav l'torach ulamasa ki hoi mekablem olav b'lev samech. Vaya no saying toda I love you sparach. He gave thanks to God. Shahaya Messiah Benafsho Bazeh. Libli Hashovo Sam Latorah Hulamasa. Thank you, God, for not feeling like my tsaros were really tsaros. Thank you for letting me be lighthearted and besimcha and joyous and positive, even when I was in the deep dark dungeons of the Egyptian jails. Or I was going down to Egypt as a slave. Kiyam lasos osam betov lev. I fulfilled all my duties with a tov lev, with a positive attitude. T'chol ha'amal agadol haya b'shaito, kineza v'chashachuach. And all of his pains, as he was going through them, were as if he didn't have them. It was as if he was forgotten from them. V'haya ki'ilu lo hayu. It was as if, even during his painful times, as if they didn't exist. Uchamidas anshe mala hagdolim. This is like the great, great tzaddikim, hasmechem biyisurim. People who, when difficult things come to their lives, they manage to still be besimcha, even though they have difficult times. That's what Yosef meant in the names of his kids. Let's read the names again with the nubshat, right? What does it say? Vayikra Yosef Mochar Menashe, ki nashani elokim es kol amali. Because God made me forget my tzaros, means even while I was going through the tzaros, I was able to be mekabel the yisurim of Hashem ba'ahava, as if I didn't have the tzaros. God made me forget them. As I was going through them, I was so besimcha as if I wasn't going through them. Ve'es kol beis avi, and not only did God make me forget my problems, God also made me, helped me, get through the tremendous nisayon of holding back and not telling my dad and not giving my dad the joy and the simcha of knowing that I was alive. God helped me put his value, the value of God, in front of family. I'm sure I've told you this story one time. I don't even remember the exact context. I think I remember what the exact context was. And this is a very touchy, but you know me, I'm not scared. It's Friday morning, 7 o'clock in the morning. I'm not scared to talk about.
Not as if you're recording.
To talk about touchy subjects, difficult subjects. I don't have the answer. I don't have the answer to this subject. Well, I'll give you my answer. Mori Verabi, Rabbi Herschel Schechter, once about, this is going back 18 years ago, they invited him to be the guest speaker in Esh Kodesh. Menachem's not here, so we can tell the story. He was a scholar in residence over Shabbos, and he gave a speech Shabbos afternoon that afterwards the entire congregation just like their mouth was hanging open. And basically, the upshot of the speech was exactly this idea that I'm talking about now, that you have to put God's values in front of your family's values. Mm-hmm. That God has to come in front of your family. And I believe he was talking about this in the context of kids who go off the derech or whatever, and he was saying, I think that was the context, that you can't, just because you have a kid who's off the derech, you can't let that affect your own personal, you can't compromise your own relationship with Hashem over the fact, you know, you can't, let's say you have a, you can't like make your house treif and eat treif food because you have a kid that is eating treif, so you're going to eat treif because you can't do that. And it's a very touchy, tricky issue how to deal with. I don't have the answers. But the only answer that I will say is what my son sent me last night, a video, beautiful video, about how the whole Beis HaMikdash, the Makabim, the Chashmonaim, were looking at the whole Beis HaMikdash, and all of it was Tameh. The whole Beis HaMikdash was Tameh. And all the oil was Tameh, and there was no holy oil. And they found one little piece of Tahar oil in the Beis HaMikdash. They found one little cruise of that was still Tahar. So he sent me a video from a rabbi that deals with kids children who are have a lot of sorrows, a lot of problems, you know. They're off the derech, whatever, kids at risk, whatever. This rabbi who deals with kids who, a lot of times, kids who are abused or kids who had a terrible experience with their Yiddishkeit as a child for whatever reason, got turned off by a Rebbe or something, whatever. And the way he was saying is that even when all the darkness is there, you have to look for that one little piece of light inside the kid. You have to try to find that one little piece of light, and hopefully, you hope that you find the one little, and you never know, hopefully sometime, someday, something will get that little jug of oil will flourish. But in a similar way, the Ksav HaKabbalah is here saying that Yosef was able to subjugate his personal family thing for the Rabbanu Shlom. That's the connection. Yeah, that was a sin. The Ksav HaKabbalah doesn't say that was a sin. Everybody else says that was a sin. Yeah. That's a difficult parsha, but it's a difficult parsha to put God in front of your family. That's difficult. I think that's a difficult thing for people to hear. It's difficult to do, but he claims that's what Yosef did over here. He put God in front of the family. When there's a choice between doing for God versus doing for the family, he did for God and then put the family second. That's what he did. I remember Rabbi Schechter giving that speech, and I was like, whoa, we're not... Did he just say what I think he just said? Everyone's saying, like, did he just say what I think he just said? Right, that's... He lives on a different plane. Looks like time is about up. So the two pieces that you have to do for homework are... how Yosef never had any gaiva, there's never any arrogance in his rulership and leadership in his brothers. And also, right, Mazos Asai Elokim Lanu, the brothers realized it wasn't a complaint that how could God do this to us. It was Mazos Asai Elokim Lanu means we're recognizing that there's something going on behind the scenes. That this is not Yosef doing it. God is trying to send us a message. And that's I think the lesson of Chanukah, and the lesson of the whole parasha. The lesson of Chanukah is that God is trying. You know, we have to view the world through the prism of, as Jews, we don't live a life of eight, right? We don't live a life of seven. The Jewish people, the way we've survived is a life of lamala min ateva, is a life of feeling Hashem's presence with us. Of when you're in a difficult situation, you have to say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I don't know what the answer is here, but if you could help me out, if you could help me give me the right words, if you could help me make the right decisions, if you could help me make the right choices, if you could help me, as long as a person walks that way. So hopefully we should be zocha to live lives of Baruch HaGever Hashem Yivtach BaHashem. We put our trust in God, V'hoya Hashem Yivtacho. God will in fact respond, and respond to that trust that we put in Him. So maybe the will of the Ribbono Shel'Olam, at this Chanukah, we're zocha as we light the lights, and we see the light that's in our lives, and we see the light that's in our families, in our children, in the Jewish people, and that light should spread. And that little light that we find should spread, should become stronger. And we realize that when the Ribbono Shel'Olam is in charge, rags to riches is totally within the realm of possibility. And where you see only darkness, you never know. There could be light tomorrow, there could be light in a week, in a month, in a year. And the Jewish people in Eretz Yisrael, with all the tzaras and the darkness that we see there, what we sometimes see there, we should Bez Hashem see the fulfillment of Azegmar Bashir Mizmar Chanukah Samizbeach. May the rededication of the Mizbeach happen in Yerushalayim Yer HaKodesh Meher V'Yameinu Amen V'Amen. May that day come right away. Can I say a Kaddish maybe?